When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. Hello, mate.
Hello.
You look nice and summery.
So do you. Beautiful in a lovely French Connection white dress.
A flowing dress. Yeah. I channeled my inner Georgia today and didn't for something short. I've gone for long floaty.
It is very me. Modesty chic, I call it.
How are you coping with the heat with a new baby?
Okay. You do worry a bit with it though, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you don't... It's hard because they have to be a bit warmer than we are, but at the same time, it's scorching. So yeah. I've been trying to keep her inside.
I'm completely freaking out with Kit at night because I don't know what to put him in. And what's hot at 7 o'clock, then at 11 o'clock, isn't that hot anymore? So
yeah.
I'm like creeping into his room, trying to put him in his like thin little sleeping bag thing. And he's waking up and he's thirsty in the night. My whole routine's gone to shit, basically.
Oh, no. Well, let's just face it. It's not going to last forever, is it?
No, to be fair, it's breaking tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah. It's going to be freezing by next week.
So this is an exciting episode because this week we decided that we weren't going to have anybody in as a guest, that we would throw a sort of Q&A out to our lovely followers and kind of give them the opportunity to ask us some questions on anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's great for us, obviously, to find out what you guys want to hear and just chat a bit more, really.
Yeah, and it was really lovely because we had loads of questions sent to us, and my particular favourites are the ones that go... No real reason for asking this, just really nosy. Like, what's it like at home with your husbands? Or like, you know, it's just, we had a really great varied response.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we are literally, we've got our phones in front of us. We're just going to get through them. So I'm going to start with one from one of our followers. Her name is also Zoe.
Great name, by the way, Zoe.
She said, both of you, how was the jump from one to two kids?
Oh, Zoe. Well, do you know what? To be fair, I think that the jump from zero kids to one kid was much more severe.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know about you, but nothing prepares you for that first baby. You have not got a clue what you're doing. Well, you and I didn't,
no,
did we?
No, definitely not.
So from one to two, it's kind of like, well, listen, you know how tired you're going to be.
Yeah.
You kind of know what you're going to get in labour, even though each birth is very different. You understand the pain.
Yeah, and also you've probably spoken about it a bit more to friends and stuff after, so you're a bit more like knowledgeable, aren't you?
Yeah, and so. I think the only thing that was... pretty scary, and I think I speak for both of us actually, was knowing how we were going to love another child as much as our first child.
Yeah, exactly. And that's more before number two comes along, isn't it?
Yeah.
The worry when you're pregnant, I think it's harder second time round. Pregnancy's harder second time round.
You don't get to nap.
Yeah, exactly. And also you have all those feelings of, you know, being worried about what's going to happen, and but then once they come along, I don't know, do they just slot in?
They kind of just slot in. I mean, sometimes I feel really guilty when I look at Kit and, you know, like, for example, when your first one does a poo in the nappy, you're like, done a poo, and you go and change it straight away. And when the second's done a poo in the nappy, you're like, oh, it can just wait till, you know, just I've just got to finish off doing the dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just
yeah,
like a
you
bit
do.
Of that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. Would you say Kit is more chilled than Luna was?
So much more chilled. Yeah. Because I'm more chilled.
Yeah, I feel like that with Gigi. Like, she's definitely more chilled than Axel was.
Yeah.
Mate, but then maybe it's just because they know that they're not going to get as much attention.
I feel like it is. I feel like, you know what, you're going to be absolutely fine if you kind of just go with the flow on it. Like yeah. we said, you know what you're going to expect. You know how to look after a baby. So, yeah.
It's just busier.
Delve them into the madness.
Yeah, exactly. It's just busier. Go on then, Zoe.
So I've got one from Anonymous. My little girl is 11 weeks old. I've had an episiotomy and a tear. Took over an hour to stitch me up, so everything was quite tender down there. My partner really wants to have sex again, but the trauma combined with the exhaustion of looking after a new baby and my insane amount of stretch marks are making me feel really low about my body and apprehensive. So my question is, how long did you wait before having sex again?
So if we just answer the question, like, how long did we wait? First, with Axel, I think about 6 weeks. I think it was after my 6 week check, but I didn't have many stitches. And this time, actually longer, but I physically would have been fine before, but just didn't happen.
We haven't even spoke about you having sex again. Have you had sex again?
Yes.
How was it?
Fine.
What's fine mean?
Well, like, it was like the after Axel, I would say it was just very, just going through the motions.
Right.
Really very fun, because I think I just probably didn't want to be doing it. I was just like, oh gosh, I'm so sore.
Yeah.
But this time it was just like it used to be.
Yeah.
Which is strange. But then again, I had a very different labour, and I think that probably has a lot to do with it.
Which we're going to talk about in a bit, because somebody's
exactly.
asked that question.
So how long did you wait? 2 days?
No, I did not. Firstly, I feel like that message, that really touched the nerve with me, and I feel like people that are listening to this will completely relate to that.
Yeah.
That goes through your head all the time. It is the most natural, in inverted commas, thing that you can do with your partner. But suddenly it's like the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Because you probably haven't had sex, you know, for a little bit before the baby comes.
Yeah.
And then you're waiting for your 6 week check, which there's a lot of pressure on that. Oh yeah, wait 6 weeks, wait 6 weeks. You don't know if you're going to be ready after 6 weeks.
No, I was going to say, definitely, she says she's 11 weeks, but it should be down to, you know, it's
yeah.
down to her when you feel comfortable to have sex again.
Yeah.
I would also say, on the flip side of it, sometimes the longer you wait, the bigger deal you make, you know, put it up in your head, and yep. then it gets harder.
Yeah, I mean, you know my view on sex. I think that if you are in a loving relationship and you have a baby with somebody, it suddenly becomes the last thing on your list that you do. And because you're so busy trying to look after the new bubba, and it's like your relationship just gets put to the bottom. So for me, I think it's really important when you feel healed to reconnect with your partner.
Yeah.
I think having sex with them heals a lot.
And, yeah.
And also for you to actually put the baby down for a second and think about your needs. As parents, we're constantly giving all the time. I had this conversation with Dozer the other day. He was like, I don't think that I'm satisfying you anymore. And no, it was a really massive thing for him to say to me. And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, well, every time I try to be intimate with you, you say, oh, come on, you know, we haven't got long, and the chips are in the oven, and oh, I think I can hear Kit stirring. And it's like, I actually just was just going through the motions slightly, because I was like, oh, quick, because we've got the kids, quick, you know, quick. And it's like, actually, no, you
yeah,
need to take time,
a bit of time
to reignite your sexual flame. Just because
yeah.
you've had a child doesn't mean you should be dead inside.
No, and also, like, a lot of women feel their bodies have changed a lot, as this lady said, you know, stretch marks, everything else that comes with having a baby, what, you know, how you feel about your body. Of course, you know, you are going to feel different. You probably will feel a bit insecure for a while.
Yeah.
And that's completely natural. So maybe, like, you know, do something nice for you, try and build your confidence back up.
Mm.
But yeah, definitely don't let it go.
And also, communication is absolutely key.
Yeah.
You have to talk to your partner, tell them how you're feeling
exactly.
about your body, tell, you know, they will wrap you up in love and make you feel okay. You know, I still have huge insecurities about my boobs. And for a while, I was just having sex with my bra on. And I was
yeah.
like, what am I doing? These are like, this is an erogenous zone. I need to take my bra off and embrace my body. But you do worry about those things. So I think talking to your partner
yeah,
is
exactly.
essential.
Yeah. Don't let, that's like I said, I didn't mean don't let it go as in don't let your body go. I mean, don't let it go as in the communication.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah, don't let that go, because once, you know, that's very difficult. If they
yep.
don't know what's going on in your head, then they can't help and they can't make you feel better.
Yeah.
So
I could talk about that subject all day.
Me too. I mean, that moves on, you know, to the next question. Joanna, how have your relationships changed with friends who don't have children?
This is an interesting one, actually. Yeah. Do you want to kick off?
Yeah, it's weird. I've got two thoughts on this, and I feel differently in different situations. So sometimes when I've gone to meet a friend who doesn't have children, since having children, I felt in my head like, God, am I being really boring? God, I don't have anything to talk about anymore. And it's really weird. You come away from it and you think, God, am I just really, really boring? And maybe, in fact, I picked this up from Roxy, if you feel like that, you should just tell them.
Right. What, so just say, look, I'm really sorry, but I haven't actually been out for a few days. Yeah, I don't even know what's
going
on.
I've got no idea what's going on. My brain is a bit of a fuzz. Yeah. I haven't slept. My mind's all over the place. So sorry if I seem a bit distant. And then that will clear it all up. But also on the flip side of it, sometimes going out with people who haven't got children is great because you feel like you can get that part of you back again and not think about children and not talk about children. What do you think?
I think that's a really nice way of looking at it. I just think there's things that you can do with your friends who don't have kids, and there's things that you can't necessarily do with them. And I'd like to be, what, you know, saying, oh yeah, no, we do everything, and we've got, we, you know, we're having these amazing pub lunches with our single friends who don't have children. It's like, no, we're not, because trying to take our children to a pub and sit down and have a pub lunch while they're like terrorizing it, knocking food over, you know, pulling the dog's tail, like whatever else, they're chucking apple juice down their throat, it's a night, it's not an enjoyable lunch. So I think we try and say to our single friends, come out to us, you know, we'll go for some long walks, we'll take the kids out, you know, we'll be outside running around, and, you know, come and stay for the night.
Yeah, once the kids are in bed, we've got our time.
We've got our time. And I think that's really key to kind of separate that. Or, you know, we'll leave the kids with the grandparents for the night and we'll go and have a night out in, you know, London or wherever we're going, and we actually just remember who we were as single people and kick the back doors out of it. Yeah. So I think it's key to be able to do that. You don't have to do everything with your children.
No, exactly. But it is difficult. I know sometimes you can feel a bit frustrated with friends who haven't got kids, you know, if you have to let them down because you can't get to something, you know, you can't go to their birthday or something. And they don't get that. They don't get it. And I was probably guilty of it before I had children, that if someone would let me down because of childcare or, you know, something like that, I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't understand. But now I totally do. So that's something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you can't change somebody else's reaction to your actions.
No,
does that make sense?
Exactly.
So like, if you can't get to somebody's birthday because one of the kids is ill, or you've got to do a nursery pickup, or something's happened, just tell them. And if they don't like it, they don't like it.
Exactly.
I think generally people are quite understanding about it.
So do I. I do.
Yeah.
So this moves on to another question. How do you manage to look so stylish?
Oh God, it's all a facade.
Top tips, please. Wardrobe essentials. Firstly, thank you so
much.
Thank
you so much. We literally feel like bags of shit warmed up.
Yeah, exactly. How do you manage
to look so stylish? Gee, well,
I buy things that you don't need to think about wearing. So like dresses, you don't have to put an outfit together.
Let's talk about your style, G, because G's got a very different style to me.
Modesty chic is what I call it.
You rock.
Ankles or wrists.
And more tits and arse, but yeah, carry on. Ankles or wrists.
Ankles or wrists. You know, it used to be like tits or legs or whatever. Yeah. Legs or tits or whatever. Yeah. But mine's ankles or wrists. No, it's not really.
Mine
kind of is, actually.
Kind of like a chic grandma.
Sort of. I just buy dresses. I just wear long dresses and trainers because I feel like you can do everything in that
outfit. You're completely underselling your style here. Georgia is impeccable, right? What you do brilliantly is you manage to buy stuff that is really versatile. So this is G's trick, is that she'll buy a dress from Zara that you can team with a pair of trainers and a really beautiful like gold necklace and a blazer in the day. She'll whack a pair of heels on at night, take the blazer off, and you've got a going out outfit. Like, you manage to do all of that.
I do try. When I look at something, I have the little thing in my head. So I think of three ways to wear it. And if I can't think of three ways to wear it, I generally don't buy it.
Yep.
And also, if something is over £50, I have to love it. And like, I have to think of maybe like six ways to wear it. And if it's under £50, then I don't think so like in depth about it.
Yeah. I think that's a really good way of looking. Well, you always look amazing.
And so do you. So what's your
For me, well, look, I'm quite a I quite simple. Like, I like a high-waisted jean, yeah, a really cool white t-shirt, v-neck t-shirt, a blazer, and like a beautiful, I'm like into my accessories. So yeah, if I think an outfit looks slightly boring, I'll, like today I've got my grandma's,
I love that. I've never
got
seen
her
people
gold armband
anymore.
That, yeah, I wear right up here. It's literally from the 20s, and I wore it on my wedding day, and just little things like that which really dress up an outfit that people notice, or a great belt.
Yeah, I was going to say, you always nip things in at the waist.
Yes.
Because you're obviously very petite. So yeah, you like know that you want to, you don't want anything to swamp you.
And I think also, we talk about this, if you've got, look, we all know being a parent, being a mum, there's literally no time for you. But if you can do your hair,
yeah,
put a few like curls in your hair is a really, really good way of like sprucing up your look for the day. Yeah. Even if you feel knackered, if you've got nice kind of wavy hair, I would even say no makeup, wavy hair over straight hair, and because it just makes you feel good.
Yeah, hair over makeup all day long.
Yeah, exactly. And then sort of investing in like key pieces in your wardrobe, those like things that you're going to go back to time and time again. Like for me, it's denim.
Yeah, a good pair of jeans, a good blazer.
Yeah.
Know a good t-shirt that fits you really well.
Yeah, and a couple of really great dresses. Dress
and some trainers.
Yeah. Bingo!
I love a jazzy trainer. what else have we got?
Go on, G.
Here we go. How long did it take you to feel back to yourself after birth?
Okay.
It's a difficult one because yourself is a hard thing to sort of get, you know, what is yourself?
Yeah. The first time round, I didn't feel myself for 6 months, I think.
I think I'd say the same.
I definitely was suffering from post-traumatic birth syndrome, if that is a thing. I felt really traumatised by what I'd been through. I had no idea that my birth was going to go that way.
Yeah.
There was no paternity leave. Dozer was straight back at training the next day. I was on my own, basically dying at home, just thinking, I just don't know if I'm going to get through this. And actually my body and what was going on with my body afterwards, I was like, help me. You know, it wasn't great. So the first time round, 6 months, 9 months probably. And actually to get my stomach muscles to close back up, it was 9 months. And to start feeling fit again. Yeah. So I'd say between 9 months and a year, to be honest with you. And then I was pregnant again.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, of course.
Because I fell pregnant when Luna was 9 months old. So you just start feeling like yourself again, and then you're pregnant again. So my experience was a bit different, but this time round, I really do feel like I started swimming a bit quicker.
Yeah,
I wasn't so
definitely.
Much of the. what about you?
First time round, it took me a lot longer. I'd say like 6 months to feel like myself. I think the biggest difference for me was not so much physically, although I did, you know, feel that too, but going from working, living in London, having that sort of selfish life to not living in London, having someone else to look after and not being able to be selfish, that was the biggest change for me and sort of getting my head around that took me a while. So this time it's obviously been a lot easier because I've already got someone else to think about.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm only 9 weeks in now and I sort of feel like I'm myself again.
You're smashing it. Georgia's smashing it.
Not physically though. I haven't been to the gym, so let's not worry about
that. But you had your mummy MOT, and this is really interesting. So Georgia obviously had her mummy MOT.
I did.
And you just told me some really interesting information about your pelvic floor.
So I basically, which anyone who knows me can probably already tell.
Wait. Before you tell this story, literally 3 weeks ago, Georgia was like, you know, I've got my mummy MOT coming up. She goes, they wear gloves and insert their finger. Like
lubricated.
Lubricated fingers. She totally freaks out.
I'm so tense even saying that. So basically, she told me I can't relax.
She told you that your pelvic floor can't relax.
It can't relax. And that is just as bad as it being like obviously being too relaxed. So
you've got the Mo Farah of pelvic floors. Basically
short distance. So basically what happens is if I run for a long time, I would be able to run for 10 minutes without wetting myself, and then after that my pelvic floor is just like, I can't hold in anymore.
So
that is essentially what happens.
So if you see G on a jog, do not chat to her at the end point, at the finish
maybe
line.
Maybe I'm just a sprinter.
Exactly. I just love, because you're such a, like, you never relax anyway. Georgia's always doing stuff, sending emails, whatever, and it's like, of course. But
of
you
course,
really,
that's so true.
You liked it, didn't you?
I thought it was fantastic, and I cannot recommend it like highly enough. It's just don't know what to say, really. It's just things that I would never, ever think of. She obviously checked my abs. She checked my pelvic floor. She checked my posture. And all of it's so linked up.
Yep.
So now I've got some exercises to do. I'm not allowed to run or jump for another few weeks until I see her again. And then hopefully it should be okay.
So, and also, we're going to start using, not together, but the TENS machine, aren't we?
Yeah, well, I'm going to start using the LV, definitely. Okay. See how I go with that. She actually said about that was, say you do your Kegels 3 times a day, to only use the LV once.
A day or week?
A day.
Oh, wow.
Out of those three times. Obviously, just after birth, you do it a bit more. Because when you're tightening your pelvic floor, if there's something inside you, it can't completely close.
Of course.
So you need to do it to make sure you're doing it right. So use the LV to make sure you're doing it right, and then do them on your own, like, as well.
I just want to stop weeing myself in my classes.
Yeah, I said, Joe, it's so embarrassing.
Oh, God,
it?
It's so embarrassing. Like, the other day, I didn't have a pair of dark leggings. So I was like, oh, I know, I'll just wear these grey ones.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got in there, I was thinking, oh, shit. And I was on the treadmill. I'd only just been for a wee. And I was like, this is going to be awkward. And of course it was.
It is, but it's so common. I didn't realise how common it was until I started, like, speaking to friends about it, speaking to you about it. Because it's quite embarrassing. But then... It's a very common problem.
Yeah, I think we should start a campaign. Don't be embarrassed about your pelvic floor. And also, you shouldn't live... You don't have to... Someone sent me a message going, you don't have to live like that. It's like, okay, I'm going to get on it.
It's so true, you don't. You absolutely don't.
So in answer to your question, we don't necessarily feel like ourselves again, but we're getting there.
We are getting there.
Someone has just sent me a message saying, quick question for the podcast. How often do you have Isla? Do you have a custody agreement or just communicate when it's best for her to stay week by week? Now, I obviously wouldn't go into all the details of the custody agreement, but we do have one set in place, and we have something called a shared custody order. So basically, it's not quite 50-50, but we're pretty much nearly there with it, which is amazing. Because for me, a child needs both parents if both parents want to be actively involved, and both parents do. So she has 8 days with her mum, 6 days with us, 8 with her mum, 6 with us, and it's lovely. Her brother and sister, Kit and Luna, adore her, and she has got 2 homes where she comes and stays. She's really happy. She's really balanced. Isla is a fantastic little girl.
She is.
And she's got 2 incredible parents. And she's got a great stepfather, and hopefully I'm doing an okay job too.
You absolutely are. You're smashing it, though.
I mean, it's not easy being a step-parent, because there's just some things that you just don't know if you're getting right or not. And, you know, even sometimes, you know, I love them all the same. You know, they are all my children. Even though I didn't give birth to Isla, I still feel such a bond to her. And I've known her since she was 12 months old.
Yeah.
But... you know, she has a mother, so I'm not trying to take her mum's place, but then what's my role? And, you know, I feel like her and I have really found our feet with that, and that we're just little best mates, and I look after her and love her, and, you know, I cuddle her in at night, and I cut her hair and I dry her tears, and I want to be there for her. Do you know what I mean? I want to be that person that can help her through life.
Yeah, she's so lucky to have you.
Oh, I'm lucky to have her. She's amazing. So I'm going to start crying in a minute.
Oh,
thanks for that one, Lauren. I like that one.
Yeah, that was great. Let's go to, how did you meet your husbands, and do their parenting styles differ from yours? Do they ever drive you crazy? Did anyone see my post the other day? How not to hate your husband after having kids? Does that answer your question?
Oh my God, my meeting husband story is great. What's yours?
Mine's really long. But basically,
we were very young.
He saw me in the gym. He tried to get my number. He almost went on a date with my friend because he got given the wrong number. And then he got my number. So that's how we met. So in the gym.
How long have you guys been together?
Oh, too long. I don't know. How old am I? 13 years.
Oh, my God. 13 years.
Yeah. What crimes could I have committed?
What crimes have you committed? I mean, has it been plain sailing?
No, of course it hasn't. No.
What
was
the key to a good 13-year relationship then, Gigi?
Don't do it. No, I don't know. I really don't know.
Communication?
Yeah, I think we both had the same values. That's probably what it is. We both always, from day one, knew we were, like, wanted to be like a family unit. Yeah. We both come from like close families. That's sort of just in our makeup, I guess. So that's probably why we've...
You guys work really well together. And you're right, that family unit thing just...
Yeah.
Wow. It exudes.
Yeah, that's probably what it comes down to. But yes, he absolutely drives me crazy every single day. In fact, the other day... He doesn't know this, but he doesn't listen, so it's fine. I wrote a list...
Doesn't listen, James Dayton.
I wrote a list of all his qualities and all his bad points.
Oh,
and well, I left it around and he still hasn't found it.
Where is it? So you need to bring it here so we can read it.
I've got it in my bag. I'll get it. But there's a lot of bad qualities on there. So, yeah.
Let's hope he doesn't write one about you, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So.
So I was in a relationship with somebody and it wasn't going particularly well. And I went to a book launch with my ex-boyfriend at the time. And it was at the Playboy Club in London and it was a sex book.
Of course it was.
And across the room, I saw my now husband and it was like, pow! And my then boyfriend was like, who's that guy? And I was like, I don't know, but he's coming over. And he came over with a mutual friend of ours, another rugby player. And he was like, oh my God, who are you? And I was like, I'm Zoe. And he was like, I'm Dozza. Da, da, da. And then my boyfriend was like, I was like, oh, this is Adam, my boyfriend. And then when we got home, Adam was like, hey, was that rugby player that was, I, you know, fucking you. And I was like, don't know. And then 6 months went by. I broke up with Adam. Ping on Twitter. This message came up going, hi, Zoe. Slid into my DMs. And then it took us another 6 months to get together because basically I'd heard all these rumours about him that he was like a womanizer. And I was like, I don't need another rugby player womanizer. I don't want anything to do with him. And then eventually my friend Pinky was like, will you, for God's sakes, will you go out on a date with Dozza? So I texted him on one Saturday afternoon and said, hey, what are you doing tonight? And he was like, cancelling my plans, come round. And we had a date, cancelling my plans, rosé, salt and vinegar Tyrrell's crisps and some sweets. And I haven't really left. That was it. That's it.
Do you know where mine and James's first date was?
The cinema?
No, Yates.
Oh, God.
I had fake ID and we got kicked out. And then we got the bus home.
Oh my God, so cute. How old are you? 17?
17.
Oh, just holding hands, hey? PG-13. Yeah. Love it. I've got one here.
Okay.
I'd love to know how each of you individually felt about the changes in your body during pregnancy and after. And what was the hardest part to accept? Does it get easier or not? I'm 39 weeks pregnant and struggling with the little stretch marks that are only just appearing around my belly button. And my tummy used to be my favourite part. I hope I don't sound ungrateful for growing my beautiful baby, just trying to get my head around all the changes. And firstly, you do not sound ungrateful at all.
No,
it
not
is completely
at all.
Normal.
Of course it is.
We all go through exactly the same fears and worries and anxiety around it. I mean, it's a minefield really, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know where to start because I think firstly, yes, it does get easier, but does it ever go away? I'm not sure if it does ever go away. I think you still feel,
you just feel different.
Yeah,
your body feels different. You look different, you know.
You
can't get away from that. Even if you're in the gym, you know, 7 days a week, you are going to look and feel different, and there are going to be marks on your body that you get during pregnancy as a result of having your beautiful baby that won't go away again.
Yeah, so, no, exactly. I think it's difficult at the moment, isn't it? Because everybody sort of on social media seems to be, you know, out there embracing their bodies, which is absolutely amazing. And
like our favourite Stacey Solomon.
Yeah, absolutely hats off to people like Stacey because it does normalise, you know, having some stretch marks, having cellulite, all of that kind of thing. But at the same time, you don't always feel like that. Like I, for one, I definitely am not embracing my body at the moment.
Are you not?
No, not at all. And I sort of feel like I should be. So it's a tricky one. But for me, I know what I'll be doing. I'm not trying to say I'm going to try and ping back or anything like that. But that's what I know will make me feel better.
So you want to get back training?
Yeah, that will make me feel better. So I guess if there's always something you can do to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you shouldn't. There's no need to have the pressure.
Yeah, I mean, I would say to, I think her name was lovely Emma, that first of all, how you're feeling and what you're experiencing is completely normal. So please don't beat yourself up about it. I went through it exactly the same as Georgia. And actually the first time round was far worse for me because I have always looked a certain way and kept myself looking a certain way. And suddenly it was like, even though I knew in my head, my logical brain was like, you're growing a baby, you're growing a human.
Yeah.
Oh my God, look how incredible you are. the devil on the other side was saying, you're really fat. Look at your stretch marks. What's happened to your boobs? They're really veiny. You know, look at your melasma on your face. All these things that kept coming in and I was batting them off, just trying to be okay every single day. The second time round, a little bit more prepared as to what the changes were going to be. But I still look down at my stomach now. And people might say, oh, well, you've got a great, you're really flat. And you won't. I still look down and I'm like, I've got skin on there that won't, it's just saggy skin from, you know, having two kids. So it's, I think it's a level of acceptance. If you can try and accept who you are and what you are and learn to love you and communicate again with your partner, whoever you're with, you're feeling these things like I do about my boobs and my stomach. I tell Dozer, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling really shit today and look at my state of my boobs and all this stuff. And he's like, I love you. I love you just the way you are. And it's making me, it does make me feel better. So don't hold that in, Emma. Don't keep it inside. And learning to love yourself is like one of the biggest lessons we can go through in life.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's it's all in your mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Georgia said, do what you can to make yourself feel better after baby comes. You're 39 weeks pregnant. So,
let's chat about
the labour first, shall we?
Yeah, exactly. any tips for going back to work or working mums?
Oh, wow.
This comes up a lot, actually. We've got quite a few questions similar to this.
Yeah.
How do you handle working and babies, then the guilt that you want to work and being away from the kids? So I think that all comes as one, doesn't it?
I feel guilty all the time. Do you?
Yeah, so yeah, absolutely. Especially now I'm sitting here 9 weeks on and Gigi's...
Not here.
But it's hard, isn't it? Because firstly, sometimes you have to do what's best for your family financially, so you don't have a choice. So if the choice is taken away from you, then I guess you have to accept that that's the way it is, and you've got to do what's best for your family, and so hopefully that should help you not feel so guilty because you know you're doing everything for them.
Yeah.
But also, if you don't necessarily have to go back but you want to, I think that's really, really tricky, to sort of get your head around.
Yeah. But I think it's healthy, happy mum, healthy, happy baby.
Yeah.
And just because you've had a baby doesn't mean that you have to be a stay-at-home mum or stay-at-home dad. You know, you don't have, we're not, it's not where it used to be, you know. We have a choice now, and I think, what am I trying to say? Like, I'm a working mum, you're a working mum.
Yeah.
We work, and there are some days where I feel like I want to peel my own skin off because I feel so wretched that I haven't seen my kids all day and it breaks me. And then Lucy, who's our nanny, who works for us 3 days a week, she's sending me photographs of them strawberry picking, and I'm like sobbing in the studios at heart because I've never taken my kids strawberry picking.
Yeah.
And it's like, actually, I could cry now because it's, I feel things, so bad.
Yeah, I mean, actually today, Axel had a swimming lesson, like his first one-to-one swimming lesson, swam on his own. I wasn't there, you know?
Yeah.
But firstly, he's not going to remember that.
No.
I think that's something you need to sort of have in your mind. They're not going to remember like those bad things, because if they're with somebody that they like being with, that's what's important to them. As long as they're being looked after by someone, you know, they're having a nice time, they're not going to.
And also, I think it's really key to teach them that parents have to go out and work.
Yeah.
Or parents choose to go out and work.
Yeah.
Luna says to me now, Mummy, where are you going today? And I say, I'm going to work. She goes, Mummy has to work. Mummy has to go for work. Can I come for work? And I sometimes bring her in and, you know, I'll take her out and about. And she knows that I have to go into work, and she loves that. And she listens to me on the radio and, you know, all of those things. I think it's teaching her, and I'm trying to explain to her about money and holidays and nice clothes and things that we can get, you know, all of those things. And also how it makes me feel. I say to her, when Mummy goes to work, Mummy feels happy.
Yeah,
so she knows that it's not me being dragged off. Don't go to work.
Well, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And also, like, I mean, this sounds so strange, but things are used to hate about work, after having kids, I actually love about
the
work.
The train holiday?
Yeah, like being on the tube for that time on my own. Just so nice.
Getting to go for a wee by yourself without someone coming in. Mummy.
Going for a hot coffee meeting.
Yeah.
There's just so many, you know, nice things about it. And also, as Zoe said, it really, you know, it's good for children to see their parents working.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And if you want to do that in your family, great. That, you know, there are going to be lots of people listening that want to stay at home.
Exactly. And that's fine too.
Great too.
Yeah, absolutely, because I couldn't do that.
No, I couldn't do it. I actually think going to work makes me a better mother.
Me too.
I come back, I'm recharged, I've done something for myself, I'm able to communicate to them on a calmer level. I find it those days at home are long.
Oh,
and if
yeah.
you're with them all day, every day.
Hats off. You know, yeah. parents that are at home all day because you've got the patience of a saint.
Yeah, you really have. So to that person that messaged in, it will get easier. The first couple of months are brutal and you'll feel really guilty and you'll cry a lot and you'll hate it. And then suddenly it'll be like, okay, no, I want to go to work today. I feel good.
Yeah.
It'll get easier for you.
Exactly.
You're doing an amazing job. This is from someone called Kay. Was and how was your mental health affected after having a baby? Some days are really bloody tough and it's so hard to communicate without seeming to be plagued with guilt. I need some help.
This is so hard, isn't it?
Mm.
Do you want to start?
Yeah. My mental health is up and down. And I think that's why you and I work so well together, G, because you know when I'm...
Yeah.
I experience humongous highs where I'm laughing and running around and, yeah, everything's great. And then down.
Yeah.
I'm in the depths and I'm locking myself in the bathroom and I'm crying. So I have really good days and really bad days with it. And especially when Luna is tantruming, like the toddler tantrums thing, we're at that key age, they're 2.5, 3, they just blow up. I feel like I can't do anything to help her and that really gets me down.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are good days and bad days. I've said this before, I think communicating is absolutely key. You know, if your partner's not around, talk to your parent, talk to your best mate, talk to whoever you can that you confide in about how you're feeling. And you also need to know that those days will pass.
That's what I was going to say. It's always something to keep in mind, isn't it? That there is, you know, there comes a time when they go to bed and you're going to get a bit of headspace. Mm.
And do something that you love in that headspace.
Yeah, but it is hard. It's really hard. It's a difficult one. I think being a parent is challenging.
Yeah, of course it is.
And it's normal. It's so normal to feel those highs and those lows.
Yeah.
And hopefully the highs outweigh the lows.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think it's really good to have a really big cry. You know, some people are really frightened of crying because they don't want to open the floodgates and they're worried that they won't be able to stop. Like, cry it out, let it go. You know that you can't experience those wonderful, magical days of being a parent without experiencing the really fucking shit ones.
Exactly.
It's like rough and smooth, light and shade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and like we said, there are loads of really fantastic things that you can do to boost your mental health. Going for a walk, going for a run, listening to amazing meditation podcasts, doing something great for you, eating well.
Listening to just a podcast to hear some adult conversation.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that's a key when you haven't heard another adult talk for like a couple of days.
Yeah. Get on Gossip Mongers, right? It's the funniest podcast apart from ours that you will ever listen to. Gossip Mongers. It's going to change your life, okay? Right, that's all we've got time for. Oh,
I
no.
loved that. We should do another one of those soon.
Yeah, definitely. Georgia, there's some things I didn't know about you, like the sex stuff. Ooh, Georgia said, I need to grow up.
She does need to.
I'm really happy that you've opened those floodgates. Well done. Keep us posted on how things go forward.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I've got to say, I really enjoyed that podcast.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's just some things that I found out about you that I didn't know, and also great to get the questions from our lovely followers.
Absolutely.
It was brilliant.
I know, I didn't know Dozer about, you know, messaging on Twitter. I mean, who uses Twitter anymore? That's very outdated.
It was 5 years ago. He would have slid into my DMs on Instagram if it was now. Listen, that is obviously the end of the podcast. We're not going to do products today because the products were just me and you.
Yeah, exactly. And we obviously talk about our favourite products on Instagram a lot. So as you know, we always say, please follow us at Made by Mamas.
Yes, or you can follow me at Zoe Hardman. And of course, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And please spread the word to all of your parenting friends. And obviously, a little 5-star review would be much appreciated.
Yes, please.
And we'll be back next week with more chats. See you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.